You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. And we're welcoming you into the show. If you're new, we're getting things revved up here for the 2018 season. We've got a special format announcement coming around the corner for the season. So excited about that. Excited that the preseason games are underway. We got a lot to talk about on today's show, breaking down everything we saw in the week one official preseason action. We had the Hall of Fame game before with the Bears and the Ravens, but Thursday through Saturday, we really got a look at a lot of teams and what they were doing. So we'll break that down. A few things I have up on the site that you can check out. A roundup of all the preseason updates, and we're going to go into those that have a good fantasy football relevance for this show. So plenty to talk about. It's our first unofficial roundup Monday of the season. We'll have that in full force when it comes to the regular season there. So excited here to break it down in season form, and we'll start there on Thursday night's game as we work in chronological order. We have the Bears and Bengals. What we take away from the Bears, not much there. The starters were a little bit active. Adam Shaheen looked pretty good there at tight end. Trey Burton didn't do as much, so there could be a way that they work in Shaheen a little bit more, Trey Burton. So we like Trey Burton to the upside in this offense as the tight end coming over from the Eagles to help Mitchell Trubisky, maybe have some of that Travis Kelce type take. But Shaheen is a factor. He's a second-round pick from Ashland recently. So when you look at his abilities, size, athleticism, hands, he could cut in there and work in some two tight end sets with Burton. So that's what I'm taking away from the Bears. I'm not totally going to go blindly into Allen Robinson and Trey Burton. We talked about Allen Robinson in the previous show as a do not draft in terms of reaching and not assuming he's going to be the high-end wide receiver two that some people expect he is. And the same thing with Burton. You want to cool the Jets. He's not necessarily locked in to me as a tight end one yet because he's been a backup in Philadelphia. He got some money to start, but Shaheen can be a factor there for sure. Now, you look at the other side of the equation, the Bengals, working a little bit there. The disappointment there was John Ross. He kind of got the number two job handed to him with Brandon LaFell being released, but only one catch for 20 yards, was actually targeted five times in the game. So not very good efficiency there. Josh Malone looked like the better receiver, three catches for 41 yards. AJ Green, two for 48 in that one. So John Ross, there's some interest in what he can do as a speedster. Some people are on him as a sleeper here in his second year. I think I'm going to go in a different direction. I just don't trust Ross in his role and really don't trust his Bengals offense to be able to get it downfield enough to him. The next game we'll talk about, this has a lot more marquee value, staying with the other team there in the AFC North from Ohio, Cleveland Browns. Baker Mayfield looked darn good, 212 yards and two TDs coming off the bench. But Tyrod Taylor was the story here, 5 for 5, 99 yards and a TD. So Tyrod did everything to keep Baker Mayfield at bay here, and he's locked in as the starter. Antonio Callaway played a lot of the second half with Mayfield. Three catches, 87 yards, and a TD. But before then, Rashard Higgins, 4 for 66. And David Njoku, 2 for 46 and two TDs. Jarvis Landry also had a great 32-yard catch down there. All this is without Josh Gordon. So Landry we know is going to be a busy target from Taylor and Njoku. That was an important game, scoring from both Taylor and Mayfield, showing good hands. He'd struggle with that. And the Higgins-Callaway situation, interesting. This is going to help Taylor as well. Both of these guys emerge. Callaway is the better talent. He's the rookie that's had some off-field stuff, but that didn't stop him from getting on the field here. The Browns are pretty confident he's going to bury some things there. But either way, Higgins or Callaway, good number three option behind Landry and Gordon. And we're going to see if this Dez Bryant situation develops. But if Higgins plays well, Callaway shows some explosiveness, there's going to be no need for Dez Bryant, especially when you consider Njoku is a big part of this. So exciting things about the Browns passing game all around in that game. And Taylor continues to rise as a QB2 sleeper that might have some QB1 borderline value. On the other side, Saquon Barkley exploded with a 39-yard, awesome-looking run. His first NFL preseason touch for the Giants. He's the real deal. Four carries, 43 yards, so didn't do too much in the rest. But Saquon Barkley, with no Odell Beckham there, the spotlight was totally on him, and Saquon delivered. And, yeah, he's locked in as a first-round pick in all fantasy football formats and an RB1, maybe the fifth or sixth off the board. That's how good I think Barkley can be this season. We had a couple of rookie running backs there with mixed results in the next game we'll talk about, all Florida affair between the Bucs and Dolphins. We wanted to see really how the backfield shook out a little bit. With the Buccaneers, Peyton Barber was a starter. Ronald Jones worked in, did score, but didn't look very good. 8 carries for 9 yards. Barber was pretty good, 4 for 21. So Barber still looks like the early down guy. Ronald Jones still trying to get his pass protection down, trying to become a factor in the passing game. That'll help because Charles Sims really hasn't looked good. They've held on to him just in case Jones can accelerate in passing situations to complement Barber. So that's really what we're going to look at. I think Barber's going to have a role here. Early down, power situations, goal line at first. Jones is really trying to hold off Sims for that complementary back role. That's the first thing he needs to do to factor in with touches more in this Tampa Bay offense. So we're not going to go crazy about Ronald Jones. I think Peyton Barber, a little undervalued for the fact that he's looked good and the Bucs still trust him there. So definitely have to think about that going forward, where Barber might have value. And I think at this point, Jaquizz Rodgers is slowly out of this mix. So you're looking hopefully at a Barber-Jones split with Sims out of it to get you a little bit more indication of the production there. Now for the Dolphins, Kalen Ballage, there's been a lot of buzz about this rookie, but 10 carries for 37 yards, not terrific, but struggled in pass protection, had a fumbling issue in this one. Had some good work as a receiver, 3 catches for 23 yards, but a little overwhelmed as a rookie. Some of that overachieving from college has showed up so far in his first pro NFL training camp. And there was a report that Ryan Tannehill kicked him out of a huddle in practice there the day after this preseason game. So Blodge still has a way to go. Kenny and Drake, I would say, still is the leader. Frank Gore, Veterans Day, didn't play, so it's still a very cloudy situation. It still leans toward Drake, but Gore's in the mix, and Ballage could keep going back and forth with how much the team has trust in him. At some point, could be unleashed there. So very tricky backfield, but for now, you have to trust Drake the most. The next game, another key rookie on display for the Panthers against the Bills there. DJ Moore looked outstanding there. 4 catches for 75 yards, had a 32-yard play. He's going to be a factor here with Christian McCaffrey, Greg Olsen, Devin Funchess. Curtis Samuel even looked pretty good in that game, 4 catches for 43 yards. So this is all good for Cam Newton, where the targets, the new ones, namely Moore, Jarius Wright, looked good in there to help him. McCaffrey looks very settled in the North Turner offense, so good news for Newton, bumping him up. Moore definitely has some wide receiver 3 appeal here as a rookie. And that's really what we could take from the Panthers. Cam Newton didn't play too much. CJ Anderson looked okay running the ball. 4 carries for 16 yards. But I still think McCaffrey is the lead back that you want to get here with his touches. And Moore is going to have an impact playing behind those receivers and tight ends. in Carolina. On the other side, the Bills, Josh Allen made his debut there. Looked pretty good in the second half, had some ups and downs, but Nathan Peterman and A.J. McCarron also looked pretty good. They all were pretty even here in this battle. Peterman was the best, McCarron second best, working ahead there. Allen played pretty well, had a couple of bad moments, so I don't think I could see Allen starting. He's clearly behind both of those guys in this mix, so I think you have to go away from the Bills quarterbacks. Allen, we'll have to see if anybody can have an impact there, but Kelvin Benjamin looks like he's here to stay no matter who's throwing to him. Zay Jones is still on the shelf there. Benjamin, 4 catches, 59 yards, and a TD coming off that confrontation after the comments he made about Cam Newton. Before the game, he went out, got motivated, played pretty well. So I think Benjamin could have some value here and really stand out among the limited Bills receiving core, no matter who's quarterbacking there. I mentioned some big changes coming for Locked On Fantasy Football. Well, Locked On NFL here on the Locked On NFL Network has become Locked On NFL of Experts. Matt Williamson, who does a great job, has a brand new lineup. Every Monday will be the Locked On local experts on the biggest stories. Then Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus will join every Wednesday. And then ESPN's amazing Mike Sando joins on Thursday. So great, great insider knowledge there on that show. Be sure to follow Locked On NFL on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, to get this amazing content from one of our terrific sister shows. Let's continue with our look at the preseason week one action and the fantasy football takeaways here. And the next game we'll talk about is the Saints and the Jaguars here. 24-20, the Saints beat the Jaguars. Not too much to take away from Saints. Mark Ingram, even with that suspension early in the season, starting to look good here. 7 carries, 23 yards, and a touchdown. Alvin Kamara, just a little tune-up for him, so with the Saints, not much to see there. I think Kamara still slated for a big role as an RB1. Ingram, he's going to be a pretty solid RB2. With the time missed when he comes back, I think you could still see him borderline finish in the top 12. But for now, Kamara's value and Ingram's value stay the same coming out of that game. Now, for the Jaguars, we're seeing if there's anybody with receiving value. It's pretty much between D.D. Westbrook and Dante Moncrief to see who can be that number two receiver behind Marquise Lee. Westbrook is trending upward. Moncrief is hurting. Westbrook outplayed him, 3 catches for 32 yards, 3 for 21 for Moncrief. So Moncrief signed coming over from the Colts, but Westbrook coming off a up-and-down rookie year started to look pretty solid here all around. So, and with Marquise Lee and the injury issues he's had, Westbrook could definitely have a big role this season. I don't think you're going to expect much from the Jaguars wide receivers with no Allen Robinson, Ron Hearns, but there could be some viable play there in certain weeks, and Westbrook is the guy that I would look at more so in PPR than anything else. The next game to break down here is the Steelers and the Eagles, and Mason Rudolph made his debut for the Steelers behind Ben Roethlisberger, who didn't play. Landry Jones actually started there. Rudolph looked pretty good, but nothing where he's going to challenge anyone for snaps ahead of him yet, or reps there, with Jones being number two. He's still a pretty solid backup to Roethlisberger. Juju Smith-Schuster, what can you say? You look at outstanding. 1 catch, 70 rushing yards, TDs. James Washington, the rookie, 2 catches, 44 yards there, including a 35-yard play from, actually, his former teammate at Oklahoma State, Rudolph. So Washington is looking more and more like that number three behind Antonio Brown and Smith-Schuster. There's really no question about that. Brown was ailing there, didn't play. The other situation we're watching, Jesse James didn't really take advantage with Vance McDonald being out with that foot injury, only 1 catch for 2 yards on 1 target. So I still think it's trending towards Washington and McDonald locking down that number three and tight end role, respectively, as expected. For the Eagles, Corey Clement looked pretty good, continuing his momentum as that swing guy behind Jay Ajayi, cutting in also to the passing game work with Darren Sproles as well. So Clement, he's going to have a key role on this team and could end up being the most productive Eagles back all around. Ajayi is being drafted ahead, but I'd much rather take a flyer later on Clement there to see what he can do overall. And Dallas Goedert looked really good in the preseason opener. 4 catches, 66 yards, and a TD. He has an elbow injury, but still going to factor in 2 tight end sets often with Zach Ertz. Pretty high-end backup for Zach Ertz. If there's any handcuff out there, we know Burton was pretty good behind Ertz last year. Goedert, I thought he could have been a first-round pick, luxury pick for the Eagles. Definitely going to see some action here as much as possible, and maybe some crossover receiving sets as well. Good athlete there behind Ertz, and there's going to be some versatility and possibilities for him in that offense. But still, he's a tight end too for clear purposes, and also a, if you want to say, a handcuff to Ertz, he definitely qualifies as that. The next game we'll talk about is the Ravens and Rams. They practiced together a little bit. Lamar Jackson looked pretty good there, ran in a touchdown, but still the passing a little off, not surprising there. Now the question is Breshad Perriman going to carve out a role here before it's all said and done? He struggled. The first round pick is that injuries. 3 catches, 71 yards, and a TD. But I still think he's training behind Michael Crabtree, John Brown, trying to get in the mix somewhere behind those two guys there. Willie Snead is also in the mix there as this potential slot guy for them. So Perryman's going to have to make it as a number 4 or number 5. Now, in the backfield, you look at Buck Allen. He's still holding his role as the receiving back here, used in passing situations. So he's going to have a role. Alex Collins looked very good in the early down situation, 2 for 26. Kenneth Dixon, the way these two guys are playing together and complementing each other well, I think he could be cut. And that gives some clarity where Collins is going to be a nice RB2 and standard, while you can look at Allen maybe as a flex PPR option in a later round as well. So some value there. On the other side, Todd Gurley's locked in as an RB1. We know that, but we're looking for a backup that's better than Malcolm Brown that we can get excited about. Well, John Kelly, the rookie from Tennessee, certainly is that. 13 carries for 77 yards, including a 40-yard run there. Kelly looked every bit the part. Also, 2 catches for 14 yards. And the fact that he can pretty much pick up for Gurley anything lost in the workload in the rushing or passing game should there be something happening to Gurley. So he is a must-have handcuff. When you talk about the number 1 overall pick in Gurley, you have to find your good insurance. And there's no doubt that Kelly is looking a lot better than Malcolm Brown there. Now, our next game is the Redskins and Patriots. And you look at the Redskins, a big, big blow there. Darius Geis tears his ACL, 6 carries and 19 yards for the rookie before, but he's out of this mix. So Samaj Perine figures to have a slight lead over Rob Kelly, who's the better back here. 7 carries for 31 yards. Kelly, 4 carries for 6 yards. So back to Perine and Kelly trying to figure out that mess ahead of Chris Thompson. But it could be a situation that's frustrating where Perine is a power back, except until you get to the red zone where Kelly is the short yardage guy. So keep that in mind with this Redskins running game. With the Patriots running game, no big injuries there. Their rookie, Sonny Michel, was already kept out with a knee injury as he's recovering and waiting until he can get back to action. Story here is Jeremy Hill, 11 carries, 51 yards, and a TD. Now, he's not going to have a big role behind Rex Burkhead and James White, but he's definitely the power back that looked the best. They also worked in Ralph Webb there with Mike Gillisley. It's clear the Patriots were trying to figure out that part of the equation here, but Hill looks like the guy rebounding from his time in Cincinnati where he could be the designated goal line scorer for this team. And Hill is definitely starting to separate from Gillisley in that role, who didn't quite work out from coming over from Buffalo. And now the former Cincinnati back, Hill, is showing some of the form that made him a good finisher in his younger days. Our next game that we'll look at is the Titans and Packers. And the Titans have pretty much indicated that it's going to be a Derrick Henry, Deion Lewis split. Not too much there to see. Marcus Mariota looked very good, completely healthy. Only two completions on three attempts for 42 yards, but he had a TD. Looked rather sharp and healthy, responding well to the Matt LaFleur offense early. So Mariota continues to be a hot sleeper, taken as a QB2, but definitely could rise into QB1 status with the weapons around him being much better this year. On the Packers side, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Yeah, that's a name that you need to know more. You know Jamon Moore. You know Equanimeous St. Brown. 4 for 61 for St. Brown. 3 for 27 for Moore. But Valdes-Scantling looked terrific there. Had a 51-yard play. Also had a TD in the red zone. 5 catches, 101 yards on 7 targets. Very active, explosive, big play type guy. Could be the guy that lines up more or most opposite Devontae Adams there in that race. Geronimo Allison, in relation to those three rookies, didn't look so good. 2 catches for 12 yards. So it's getting pretty clear that it's wide open there for the number 3 job outside there with Adams playing behind Randall Cobb. And they have some upside with Cobb getting older and a little bit ineffective there. So Valdes-Scantling put him in that race there first. Jamal Williams, if you're looking for that power back, he clearly is separating here from Aaron Jones, who's just getting back from a hamstring injury. So you have Jamal Williams as the early down, while Ty Montgomery is going to be the third down hybrid type back here in Green Bay at this very moment. Now, Locked On NFL Draft is an incredible daily NFL draft podcast. And we're just excited that you have all the great takes there from John Ledyard, Trevor Sikkema, Joe Marino, and Kyle Krabs bring their draft takes every day, also from Draft Dudes. So we've enhanced that show. It's the number one show here, sister show on the network. Follow on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts to get another NFL draft podcast that you can check out here on the network. We've got Locked On NFL Draft, Draft Dudes. Keep up with it. And a reminder that as we're talking about tomorrow's NFL prospects today, don't forget the launch of our college podcast network arriving in late August. So that's going to be outstanding. You'll be covered from two perspectives on the football players of now and tomorrow. Let's continue our look and complete it on the preseason action from week one there to see what's going on and the best takeaways in fantasy football. And we have the Texans and Chiefs. From this game, Deshaun Watson got in there briefly. That's the takeaway. He was healthy. 1 pass, 1 completion, 4 yards. But he got on the field and played, which is, in contrast to Carson Wentz, makes you feel a little bit better about his status as a QB1 there. So far, so good. That was the plan, to get his feet wet a little bit. Now for the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes looked pretty good. 5 for 7, 33 yards. Not in that downfield throwing, though, however. So I think the one thing we can look at about the Chiefs is their backup running back situation. Damien Williams signed from the Dolphins. Had 5 carries for 20 yards, also 2 catches for 14 yards. So Spencer Ware has been hurting. Charcandrick West has kind of been iffy in this mix. Kerwin Williams is behind Damien Williams. So if you're looking for that Kareem Hunt swing handcuff, I'd say Damien Williams is in the lead for now. Our next game that we had was the Colts and the Seahawks. Again, a sighting of a quarterback simply being on the field and healthy. That was Andrew Luck, 6 for 9 passing, 64 yards. Kind of got rid of the ball quickly. Didn't stand in there and take those big hits that we saw before. A product of this tweaked offense there for the Colts. So good to see him healthy. You had Marlon Mack tweak his hamstring coming out of this game. So more injury concerns with him. Deion Kane, the rookie at wide receiver, tears his ACL, so he's out for the year. So you're looking at Ryan Grant there and Chester Rogers as the number 2 and number 3 receivers. In the backfield, Robert Turbin suspended early in the season there. He was operating as the next back after Marlon Mack. So for now, it's Turbin, but I think Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins, the two rookies, are going to have some momentum soon there. For the Seahawks, Rashad Penny was not effective as Chris Carson, keeping up the theme here of how the backfield has played out. C.J. Procise couldn't play, so J.D. McKissic had his action in the passing game. So right now it's trending towards the guys who were there last year, Carson and McKissic. Well, Procise didn't play. Penny was in college at San Diego State. For now, this backfield is in flux and really hard to trust going forward in Seattle with the mix of similar rolled guys and the pedigree of a first-round pick in there trying to fight an undrafted free agent whom the coaches love. Our next game was the Cowboys and 49ers. The Cowboys' take for sure is that Michael Gallup looked every bit the part of a number one receiver. One catch, 30 yards, and a TD there from Dak Prescott. So Michael Gallup trending upwards more and more as a wide receiver three in fantasy. On the 49ers, they had some injuries there. Jerick McKinnon got hurt. Matt Breida got hurt. Joe Williams was not as effective. So Breida's going to be out for a while, but McKinnon Breida split is what you're probably looking at. McKinnon probably going 60% there, but Breida definitely going to have his 30% type action when he's healthy. George Kittle also had an injury in this game with a shoulder matching Breida, but I think he's going to be fine and still have a big role for this team as a key red zone and intermediate target for Jimmy Garoppolo. Our next game was the Falcons and Jets. And with this one, Sam Darnold looked really good for the home team, coming in behind Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater, who also looked good. So Darnold has a greater chance to start. He's getting some first-team reps now in practice as he's caught up there after signing his camp contract a little late. He's locked in as a rookie. He's starting to look like why they drafted him that high and pro-ready from the things that were tabbed of him early in his career at USC. So things are pointing upward. This team looks like it could have more offensive upside there than originally anticipated. Isaiah Crowell, Bilal Powell still are the backfield combo as we go forward. For the Falcons, there wasn't much to see there at all. I think one thing you might look at with the Falcons is how they're going to work in Calvin Ridley. He played there, Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu, not in the mix there. So still need to learn a lot more about the Falcons, but one catch minus 2 yards, not exactly auspicious for Ridley. But I would definitely put Ridley behind Gallup and Moore in the fellow rookie category at this point. Our next game was the Raiders and Lions, and with this one, Marshawn Lynch had a run that was called back there for a touchdown. Doug Martin looked pretty good here going forward, so I think Martin is going to still keep pushing as the number two to Lynch. A cloudy backfield situation, two veterans there. I might avoid it. Jalen Richard definitely locked in as the passing game back, four catches for 35 yards. On Detroit's side, Kerryon Johnson looked outstanding. Seven carries for 34 yards. The rookie they traded up for, LeGarrette Blount, in relation, five carries, 21 yards. So he wasn't terrible. Amir Abdullah had the TD, but he's being phased out of this offense. So Blount may initially get that goal line work, but Johnson, bigger and bigger role come in. Theo Riddick is the passing game guy, but Johnson can do some of that as well. And they've talked about his three-down skills. So Johnson is up for me as a rookie back that can have a big role. The Vikings-Broncos game, not much to talk about with the Vikings, status quo there. What's developed here is that Laquon Treadwell is going to be potentially a bigger factor as the number three receiver ahead of Kendall Wright there. A little bit of a twist, but Treadwell doing his best to hang on and be important there behind Diggs. Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen in this offense, but not much else to look at. Dalvin Cook was held out of the game. We'll have to wait until the second preseason game until we get an idea of what Cook can do back healthy from his torn ACL as the Vikings feature back. For the Broncos, Royce Freeman threw down there. Devontae Booker started, two carries, 7 yards, but Freeman took over, four carries, 38 yards, and a TD. So clearly looking like the better back and the guy that they're probably going to start leaning toward away from Booker, even though Booker has a slightly more experience. Freeman is definitely the better back in this mix, and that's good news for his stock going forward. And finally, we had the Cardinals facing the Chargers there, and that was Josh Rosen. What we were looking out for him. Unfortunately, he didn't look very good behind Sam Bradford. Got in the game before Mike Glennon, but six completions on 13 attempts, 41 yards. Just didn't look good or comfortable beyond a shaky offensive line. Christian Kirk, the fellow rookie there at wide receiver, 2 catches for 9 yards. Still working behind what we expect Larry Fitzgerald to be, and then Bryce Butler in there, and as well as Chad Williams. So a lot of question marks about this Cardinals passing game. David Johnson, however, looked fine and dandy. 2 carries for 28 yards. He's back in full form from that wrist injury. Now, for the Chargers, we're trying to see what Mike Williams did. 2 catches for 18 yards. I still think he's going to have a nice red zone, big outside target role there with Tyrell Williams and Keenan Allen with the Hunter Henry loss for season. So a lot of 3 receiver sets there, but Mike Williams didn't do too much, but I think the upside is still there that we're going to look for because he needs to be a key target for Phillip Rivers to make up for what we had with Hunter Henry. They're still in the talks with Antonio Gates to see if he can come back, but for now, you're looking at more 3 receiver sets and Williams and Melvin Gordon to pick up a lot of the receiving slack of Hunter Henry there for sure. So there you have it. There's a Roundup Monday, week one preseason edition there. All the important takeaways you need to know from fantasy football from every game on the schedule. There, can't wait to see what's going to be in store for week two. A lot of good stuff coming up. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time with more insight for your draft